Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hi, Oddings. This is the Something Scary podcast. I'm your Ate Sapphire. I'm going to be taking a short break from the show, but I'll be back soon. Until then, I'll be leaving you in the capable hands of Markia McCarty, who you'll be meeting later in the show. First, I'll share a Swedish urban legend called Pink Hands. Then, I'll have a chat with Markia so you can get to know her, and then she'll read a creepypasta that has stuck with her over the years. Want to hear something scary? Pink Hands, a Swedish tale submitted by Kenza. There once was a girl who was left home alone while her mom and dad were at a party. She quickly became bored watching TV, so she walked through the woods, a shortcut to the outlet mall. There, she entered the CD store. She walked up and down every aisle until she saw something that caught her eye. There, she saw a CD with the title Pink Hands. There was something about the album artwork that captivated her. The bright colors, the abstract shapes. She decided to buy it. She had to have it. She grabbed it and handed it to the cash register. His gaze lingered on the cover for a few moments, looking puzzled. He turned his head towards the door in the corner of the store labeled Employees Only. "Hey, Stan, I thought I told you to get rid of the Pink Hands albums." A teenager of no more than 17 years of age emerged from the room and walked over. "Yeah, and I did." The cashier looked back down at the album. The plastic protective wrap was pristine, and the sticker along the edge of the case was in one piece. It was definitely a new album. "Look, kid," the cashier began to say, "I don't think I can sell this to you." "I'll pay double for it," the girl quickly interjected. She placed her cash on the counter. The cashier stared at the bills. He looked into the girl's eyes and said, "Just don't turn it on when you're home by yourself. Okay?" The girl nodded enthusiastically. The cashier finished ringing her up, and the girl happily skipped out the door with her brand new purchase. She headed back towards her shortcut through the woods, but before entering the densely packed trees, she noticed a man. He was tall, and his face was covered by his large hat. His hands were in his pockets, and he was wearing a big, hefty jacket. When he noticed that she was staring at him, he stopped walking. The girl immediately averted her gaze and headed through the trees. She walked through the woods, through the gate, into the house, up the stairs, and into her room. The girl closed the door behind her, plopped into bed, and put the CD into her player. The first three songs on the album were actually pretty terrible, so she skipped all the way to the fourth. The song started like this. Pink hands, through the forest, pink hands, through the gate." The front gate began to creak. "Mom and Dad must be home," she thought. The song continued. Pink hands, find a house, find a house." The front doorknob began to shake and swing open. Silence followed. "That's weird," the girl thought to herself. "Mom and Dad usually say hello when they come in." Pink hands, up the stairs." She heard footsteps coming up the hallway stairs. She began to panic. She pounded the eject button on her player and tossed the CD out the window. Then she ran to her closet to hide. And although the music had stopped, the song continued from a muffled voice heard just outside her bedroom door.
Pink hands, find a room, find a room. Pink hands, find a closet, find a closet.
The bedroom door opened. The girl slowly pressed her eye in the crack between her closet doors. In the center of her room was the man she saw outside the store, but he had no jacket and no hat. That is not human, she thought. The figure in her room was tall, with long arms and legs. And he continued to sing. Pink hands, found a closet. The closet door flew open. Moments later, the girl's parents arrived back home, just in time to hear their daughter shriek from her bedroom. They ran upstairs and found her closet doors wide open and their daughter's body suspended from the clothes rack. Her face was completely white. All the blood in her body was traveling downward, escaping through the open wounds in her fingers, leaving her hands completely pink.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
All right, everyone. Now is the time to meet Markia McCarty. You may already know her from all of the various hosting things she does all over the internet. Do you want to just briefly say, you know, where people may have seen you already?
Sure. I mean, it all really depends on what your fandom is, because my fandoms are varied, very varied. You might have seen me on Nerdist.com, maybe Collider, perhaps Screen Junkies, maybe on the Schmodown also. And if you've watched Fangirling with Nerdist, I've done that. There's a variety of things. If you're a gamer, either a video gamer or a RPG player, then perhaps you've seen me on Hyper RPG. Tempting Fate with a Saving Throw show. I tend to keep very busy in my nerddoms. I haven't had as much of a chance to explore my horror with other people, but I have been just embracing horror since I was 8 years old. So my dad actually ended up getting me into it, and it was our thing. Mom does not enjoy horror. She's one of the people where she hears suspenseful music, she's like, nope.
Gotta get out of here.
This is a big old nope, where I'm like, I must go there.
That's awesome. Did you watch horror movies with your dad a lot when you were little?
Oh, yeah. Everything, I mean, I'm going to name a couple of real old cult classics. The Diner. Yes, exactly. And what's another one? The Santa Claus one, Silent Night, Deadly Night.
I think I've seen that one.
These are, I mean, they probably only exist in VHS. yeah. You know, good luck finding them, but
they weren't probably worth digitizing. Is that what you're saying?
There might be some cult classic festival that happens out there for like those really deep cuts. But yeah, with that, I mean, Freddie was my guy, you know,
really?
Back in the day.
Okay.
I really enjoy when inevitability crosses with choice. And that's what I think like Freddy Krueger would do, because you have to fall asleep.
Right.
And he's there waiting for you. It's inevitable. Mm-hmm. So your choice is, how will you stand? Will you stand or will you fall? So, yeah. So Freddy was my guy. If anybody's wondering, Freddy versus Jason, I'm a Freddy gal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so, I personally didn't grow up really into horror that much. I was more into just ghost stories specifically. Yeah, I only recently started watching a lot of the horror classics. Like, I only saw Friday the 13th maybe like 2 years ago or, yeah, so.
Nice, welcome.
Glad to be here. So, do you have any personal ghost stories or ghost stories that have happened to you or your family?
Most definitely. My family is sensitive. I'm also. So there have been a number of occurrences in my life where, you know, as the podcast progresses, I'll more than likely sprinkle in. Yeah, I mean, there is one definite instance that has happened multiple times in my life. When I was around 9 years old, I'm a military brat, so we lived in a number of places. My childhood was spent on military bases and in different countries, mainly in Europe. And I was around 9 years old through this big sleepover, because it's like, yeah, I'm about grown. This is going to happen. Yeah. So all of my best friends, which was all of the females in my class, so came over to my house. And of course, you know, ghost stories are going to happen. So living in England at the time, the ghost story du jour was Bloody Mary.
Mm,
where those
classic.
Yes, those that aren't familiar, it's kind of like Candyman, where you turn off all the lights, face the mirror, and you say her name three times. You call her forth to, I don't know why. To hang out. Yeah. So everybody went to sleep. I decided that I would go ahead while it was late at night with a flashlight. I was going to do it and then tell everybody about it in the morning. Like, I did it and nobody else had the courage to, kind of a thing. So I went into the bathroom, put the flashlight under my face, and I got so scared I ended up closing my eyes, and I said her name three times, and I thought I heard something. So I exited the bathroom, looked around with the flashlight. Everybody was asleep. There wasn't any noise to it. Maybe some snored, I don't know. And I was like, great, I did it. Okay, that's great. And then I went to sleep. And I'm very certain that this had to have been a dream, where I was back in that bathroom with the flashlight under my face, my eyes closed, but it was like I could see myself. I was looking at myself from the mirror and my eyes were being forced open, but I could feel that at the same time. And then when it happened, I saw a face in the mirror. It was a paler face. It was a woman with a little red hat. But this had to have been, a dream, kind of a thing. But I actually didn't tell anybody about it the next morning, because I was kind of freaked out about it. And I was like, oh, overactive imagination, right. You know.
And you
what
also
a
thought
dream.
It was a dream, yeah.
What a dream, you know. Look what we do to ourselves, kind of a thing. But a few years later, when I was on a cross-country train trip to Nebraska, it was for International Thespian Festival. This was when I was in high school. I had to have been like maybe 14 then, 14 or 15 years old. And we had a stopover in New Orleans. And we're just in there in the train station. It was a big group of us, that poor drama teacher. And
she knew what she was signing up for.
She had to have known. cross country with high schoolers. She's a superhero. And I thought I saw out of the corner of my eye that face again. That woman in the red hat. And I looked, and it was a glare. was a glare from one of the many ads that you see, mm-hmm. like the posters and the train station. But then at that moment, I felt like this elemental pull to leave the station. Mm-hmm. And there were so many of us over in the corner. It's like literally I felt like I needed to walk out. And I actually started walking towards just leaving mm-hmm. the train station. And the guy that I was dating at the time actually like looked over his shoulder and like grabbed my shoulder and was like, "Hey, where are you going?" I was like, "I don't know. I'm nowhere. I'm not going anywhere." But it was, God, Sapphire, it was, and I'm such a good girl. There was like leaving all my stuff behind and just.
Oh, you left like your bags and everything.
I just started walking. So in any case, we ended up, you know, getting on the next train. And, you know, that night was in the club car was closed, or it was like a empty-ish car with a couple of friends. We were playing chess and telling ghost stories again. And you know, like with the train, how when it's moving and you look down the corridor where you can see the door to the next car, and then there's also glass there.
Mm-hmm.
I swear I saw her again.
This is there. Later that same night.
This is that same night. And it's like that there was an energy change from the very first time that I saw her. It was like there was, it didn't feel malicious. It was more of a need to be known, a need to be seen. Mm-hmm. And then in the train station, it was come here kind of a thing. And then the energy of that moment was so much less. More like a whisper than a shout. And I grabbed the guy that I was dating at the time and I'm like, "You need to see this." And I'm staring straight at where her face is. And as we move closer, it looks more like imperfections in the glass. And I show him like, "Do you see this?" He's like, "See what?"
Right.
I don't believe that I've seen her again. And sometimes I wonder what would have happened if I had just stepped outside.
Right. Like, where did she want you to go?
I have no idea.
Huh. Well, the fact that you saw her twice in, did you say it was New Orleans that
Yeah,
she
New Orleans was the second time. The first time was when I lived in England.
So you think maybe she somehow traveled with you over there?
I don't know. I just hope that whatever it was that was drawing, you know, me there, I hope it's done. I mean, it's been years and I don't believe I've seen her again.
Right.
That I'm remembering. So
if she does show up again, please let us know. I hope she doesn't.
I don't want her to.
Yeah. Yeah. Question though, what kind of red hat was she wearing? Like, what era do you think she's from?
It wasn't a fashionable hat. It wasn't. Uh-huh. It wasn't something that you would be like, "Oh, nobility," like, you know.
It's like a bucket hat.
No. It was just, it looked hand-sewn.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it was raggedy because I feel like it was something that was precious to her is the feeling that I get with it.
You think she made it or someone special to her made it?
I'm not certain, but... It wasn't like a nobility class type of a thing, but
right.
it was, I don't know, it was middle class. It was dated. It wasn't something that we would wear now, mm-hmm. unless you're like into vintage. Like if I saw that hat somewhere, it'd probably give me a chill.
Yeah. So, have you ever seen that hat anywhere?
I don't believe I have, because if I did, I'm the type of person I would have to buy it.
And then we're just
back on House of Haunted Hill or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I'm the woman in the red hat. I don't know. But
exactly.
Yeah, real life occurrence.
Oh, that's so creepy. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Mm.
as you take a sip.
Yeah. I'm going to have to sage myself when I go home.
Ooh, so you do a lot of spiritual cleansing, I assume.
Yes.
By your... crystal that you're wearing.
Yes, I'm wearing black tourmaline right now. It's a protection. Also, it converts negativity. It holds a lot of power. I have a larger stone. So this is what I've gravitated towards right now. But I have a number of different crystals. I do tarot also.
We do.
Kind of thing. Yes. Yes. So I do personal readings for friends, and I like getting it done myself.
Awesome. Type of thing.
Oh, so yeah, I love the occult.
I thought about bringing my cards, but then I changed my mind.
Darn it.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. I do have a tarot app. If you want to do it on my phone.
So do I.
Wait, like what three. Do you use?
Oh, I have Galaxy.
That's what I use.
I love Galaxy. This is amazing. Yeah. Let me see. I have right now, I have Galaxy. I have Labyrinthos, Golden Ooh. Thread. And I also enjoy Astro Matrix. For those that are Android users, Astro Matrix is our the pattern.
Is what?
Our the is. Okay. The pattern if. There was this whole thing where Channing Tatum. Channing, did I just mess up his
name? No. It's just okay, because mentioning.
I always call him Chay Tates.
Chay Tates.
Yeah. He went on Twitter and he was having like this moment where he's like, the pattern, I believe that's what the app is called for on Apple users.
Okay.
And it's all about astrology. And he was like, how do you know me? He was just having this whole thing. He's like, you need to contact me and tell me how you know me. So after that was like the greatest advertisement for the pattern. But I'm an Android user, so I didn't have that.
Okay.
So I went through different things and other people's recommendations and found Astro Matrix.
Okay.
So that's what I mean by Astro Matrix is our the pattern.
Okay. Yeah. Because I was like, what are you saying?
I'm just over here saying words.
Wait, what's your sign?
I am a Virgo sun
I'm
sign.
I'm a Virgo too.
What?
When's your birthday?
August 27th.
Oh, cool. So you're like right on the cusp. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm 21st
of
September.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My moon is Sagittarius and I'm a Libra rising.
Oh, cool. I don't know.
For those that are interested. Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, no wonder I have good vibes about you because I'm like a fellow Virgo.
No wonder. So
in case you guys are wondering, only Virgos can host something scary.
Yes. It has been established. It is canon.
Yeah. Exactly. Cool. Awesome. You said that you were like really into anything occult, right? Or
yes. I believe in different energies, you know, type of a thing. I'm not the kind of person that tells someone, no, you know, you don't feel the thing that you're feeling.
Right.
Because I don't know their particular experience.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm pretty open, but I'm also very protective of my own spiritual energy.
Right.
So
as we all have to be.
Yeah. So I very much enjoy things like, you know, Halloween Horror Nights. I get scared. I'm that person. I will go to a horror movie and be like really affected and then like cleanse myself when I get home where it's just like, ooh, I got to let that go type of thing. For me, bravery is different. Like I don't purposely go to places that other people say is filled with negative energy or bad spirits because I feel like I might come back with a hitchhiker kind of a thing. So I don't personally do that, but I do enjoy going to conventions like Midsummer Scream. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy interacting with people that are very buried into the occult, into horror in general. I love talking to those people because I feel like horror in general is a beautiful social commentary that keeps on changing as the cultural zeitgeist changes.
Absolutely.
You know, like our zombies. Our zombies now are different from Romero zombies, you know, and it's a reflection of our society. Oh, I could talk about zombies all day. That's just one of those things. But yeah. And then there's just the cultural pulses that we're tapping into now with things like Us and Get Out, what Monkey Paw has been doing with the remake of Twilight Zone and so on and so forth.
I think Jordan Peele.
Oh, yeah. Basically just Jordan Peele. No, there are a lot more than that. But I just love how horror is a reflection of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I get kind of, I guess, like sad for people who can't appreciate horror. Like, I understand that, like, you know, a lot of people might be a little too sensitive to if it's gore or like not, you know, all horror isn't necessarily gore.
Yeah.
But I feel like horror just takes stakes and emotions and everything just to the extreme. So we feel so much more deeply. And I love being that affected by entertainment, because if you're not affected on a deep level, then what's the point? In my opinion, I don't know.
Yeah. And talk about a genre that is strongly female led. I mean, for good or for bad, I know that there's a lot of horror movies out there. But yeah, having, you know, majority female or predominantly female led, you know, horror and psychological thriller.
Yeah.
It's like, that's pretty exciting. Way to go, genre.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, I'm sure this comes as no surprise to people, but behind the scenes, you know, there has been a lack of women and women of color who are making these movies and mm-hmm. shows. But I do feel like there is a very, very gradual, almost too gradual increase in that. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are it's that we all do better when we have people from different demographics and different influences in life. When you just have a single voice from a single demographic or a single ethnicity, you are not going to get the varied, you're not going to get a full picture. Mm-hmm. You're only going to get a part of one.
Yeah.
And it's like, we deserve the full picture. Not mm-hmm. only that, for the opportunities of people being able to follow a path that had previously been closed to them, but also for our own darn enjoyment.
Right.
I mean, I'll just go back to Jordan Peele again. I'm not all Jordan Peele, by the way. I know a lot more, than that. But
he's
it's,
great.
He's so good. Like, without giving different voices, like, and, you know, he was a comedy actor, mm-hmm. you know, before. Without giving these people different voices to be able to explore this, we don't get Us.
Yeah.
We don't get Out kind of a thing. And isn't it boring to see the same stories done in the same way, just like
all the time?
You know?
Yeah.
We deserve more.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm very much a strong advocate for having different voices in front of the camera, behind the camera, in front of the podcast, behind the podcast type of a thing.
That is something that is very important to me as a Filipino woman. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, just women of color have not really been in the horror. They're not really prominent, like, in the horror community. And mm-hmm. so I'm glad this is happening, is what I'm saying.
Yes. Yes. We are here too.
Yeah.
And enjoy the journey with us. Type of a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So Markia brought a story to read for us today.
Yes. This is a story that has stuck with me. I, like I said before, I like inevitability and choice type of a thing. And I really like creepy occurrences that are common with us, as in we're humans and we have these fears, and
right.
then someone twisting it into something else. So I'm going to be reading The Smiling Man. It's creepypasta by username blue_title. About 5 years ago, I lived downtown in a major city in the U.S. I've always been a night person, so I would often find myself bored after my roommate, who was decidedly not a night person, went to sleep. To pass the time, I used to go for long walks and spend the time thinking. I spent 4 years like that, walking alone at night, and never once had a reason to feel afraid. I always used to joke with my roommate that even the drug dealers in the city were polite. But all of that changed in just a few minutes of one evening. It was a Wednesday, somewhere between 1 and 2 in the morning, and I was walking near a police-patrolled park quite a ways from my apartment. It was a quiet night, even for a weeknight, with very little traffic and almost no one on foot. The park, as it was most nights, was completely empty. I turned down a short side street in order to loop back to my apartment when I first noticed him. At the far end of the street, on my side, was the silhouette of a man, dancing. It was a strange dance, similar to a waltz, but he finished each box with an odd forward stride. I guess you could say he was dance walking, headed straight for me. Deciding he was probably drunk, I stepped as close as I could to the road to give him the majority of the sidewalk to pass me by. The closer he got, the more I realized how gracefully he was moving. He was very tall and lanky and wearing an old suit. He danced closer still until I could make out his face. His eyes were open wide and wild, head tilted back slightly, looking off at the sky. His mouth was formed in a painfully wide cartoon of a smile. Between the eyes and the smile, I decided to cross the street before he danced any closer. I took my eyes off of him to cross the empty street. As I reached the other side, I glanced back and then stopped dead in my tracks. He had stopped dancing and was standing with one foot in the street, perfectly parallel to me. He was facing me, but still looking skyward, smile still wide on his lips. I was completely and utterly unnerved by this. I started walking again, but kept my eyes on the man. He didn't move. Once I had put about half a block between us, I turned away from him for a moment to watch the sidewalk in front of me. The street and sidewalk ahead of me were completely empty. Still unnerved, I looked back to where he had been standing to find him gone. For the briefest of moments, I felt relieved until I noticed him. He had crossed the street. He was now slightly crouched down. I couldn't tell for sure due to the distance and the shadows, but I was certain he was facing me. I had looked away from him for no more than 10 seconds, so it was clear that he had moved fast. I was so shocked that I stood there for some time, staring at him. And then he started moving toward me again. He took giant, exaggerated, tiptoed steps, as if he were a cartoon character sneaking up on someone, except he was moving very, very quickly. I'd like to say at this point I ran away or pulled out my pepper spray or my cell phone or anything at all, but I didn't. I just stood there, completely frozen, as a smiling man crept toward me. And then he stopped again, about a car length away from me, still smiling his smile, still looking to the sky. When I finally found my voice, I blurted out the first thing that came to mind. What I meant to ask was, "What do you want?" In an angry, commanding tone, what came out was a whimper. "What?" Regardless of whether or not humans can smell fear, they can certainly hear it. I heard it in my own voice, and that only made me more afraid. But he didn't react to it at all. He just stood there, smiling. And then, after what felt like forever, he turned around very slowly and started dance walking away. Just like that. Not wanting to turn my back to him again, I just watched him go until he was far enough away to almost be out of sight. And then I realized something. He wasn't moving away anymore, nor was he dancing. I watched in horror as the distant shape of him grew larger and larger. He was coming back my way, and this time he was running. I ran, too. I ran until I was off of the side road and back onto a better lit road with sparse traffic. Looking behind me then, he was nowhere to be found. The rest of the way home, I kept glancing over my shoulder, always expecting to see his stupid smile, but he was never there. I lived in that city for 6 months after that night. And I never went out for another walk. There was something about his face that always haunted me. He didn't look drunk. He didn't look high. He looked completely and utterly insane. And that's a very, very scary thing to see.
Ooh, so spooky. Yay. So if anybody wants to find you on the internet, where can they find you?
Yes, you can find me at Markeia McCarty. That's MarkeiaMcCarty. That is Instagram. That is Twitter. That is also my public Facebook. So yes, feel free to connect. I love talking about fandoms and nerddoms. Obviously, all of us are horror and occult fans. But if you tend to gravitate towards comic books, wrestling, video games, RPGs, I got you. And I want to talk.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.